This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is the first week of January, episode 93, I think. I'm about ready to get back into the swing of things with the episodes and having like a real topic every week. But not quite yet. I know I've been talking about this little VaneWork stand business for a while, and I'm probably going to de-elevate that down to just chatting right at the beginning of driving home about that and get to a real topic. And there is a topic that I'm really thinking about talking about next week, which is, it was pretty interesting. It was a chat on TED about monkey economics. And there was some pretty interesting experiments done. And I'm proud to say I got to the conclusion far faster than the experimenters did, but they did the experiment to see if, in fact, their ideas would hold and answer a question for them. And just based on the principles of flesh and spirit, which the presenter started out the presentation, I thought, well, it's, you know, X. And sure enough, they got to the end of it, and they said, it's X. So, anyways, so that was a little interesting, but maybe I'll review that, and we'll talk about that next week. This week, obviously, I launched, finally, the VaneWork stand, opened it up for sales. I did that Sunday night. It's always just very interesting, because you can count on the fact that no matter how much you're preparing for something and you're getting right up to that threshold of doing it, that there's always going to be that hesitation that your flesh is going to try. Well, I don't know if you might need to wait a little bit. Yeah, okay. And I wonder, if you ever get to the point where that hesitation isn't there, if you shouldn't just drop back and think about it for a moment and go, okay, why is my flesh not interested at all in not trying to stop me from doing this? Maybe that's an indication of something that you should pay attention to. But of course, Sunday night, I was getting ready, and I really had two sets of people to write. One of them were people that had filled out the reservation form for the stand. And I had about 45 of those. It was very interesting. And I've pretty much decided to just tell you all what's going on, because maybe it'll be useful to somebody at some point. Even if I get to the end of this and I still have 1,000 of these things or 1,600 of these things sitting in my basement, maybe at least it'll be useful to somebody if I really talk about what's going on in this whole thing. So I had about 45 reservations that were sitting there. People who'd said, yes, I'm interested in ordering a stand. Let me know when they're available. So I put together a mass email for them. And I sent that out. I had one person immediately turn around and order. It was within minutes. It was like, hey, here they come. And then things got quiet. And a few, a couple of more came in the next couple of hours, but not all 45 came in. So that's something interesting. And probably what I'm going to do on that is I'm going to follow up with those people this weekend. Anybody who has ordered, I'll strike them for the list. And then this next time, instead of sending out a bulk email with links and all that kind of stuff in it, I think I'm just going to send them a note. Just a simple note to say, hey, at one time you had signed up and said you were interested. Just wanted to let you know that it is on sale now. It's out at VaneWorks.com. I'm not going to put links or anything in this email to improve the chances that it won't be thrown into your junk mail folder. And then just touch base with them one more time. If I don't hear anything from them again, then fine. I also had a list of tech bloggers that I was going to get in touch with, and I did send out a generic email to each of them. I mean, within a half an hour, I heard back from one of them, Android guys, and they said, hey, we took a look at the website. This looks cool. You know, great job. We will definitely do a blog post on it. I was like, hey, here they come. And then everything went quiet. I heard nothing after that. And I was kind of thought, well, maybe I offended them or something, you know, because this is the first time I've done something like this. So sometimes you don't know the rules of the road. Maybe. And then I was thinking, well, it's January 2nd. People are still getting back from vacation. And then what I didn't realize is that the Consumer Electronics Show is this weekend. And so that started today, I believe, which is Thursday. Which means if they're a part of a big blog thing of anything of consequence, you know, come Monday, they're making travel plans and they're finishing up and they're going, I mean, it's just crazy. So it probably wasn't the best time to write them. So my next tact is going to be maybe to write them again, either on Monday or so, or I do have phone numbers for a bunch of them. So, you never know, I might just pick up the phone and see. Because definitely, it's worth getting some tech bloggers somewhere to talk about it. It can be done without that, as far as selling your product, but it's definitely great to get tech bloggers to talk about it. It's been really interesting to watch the traffic patterns and to watch the sales rates, just to be perfectly transparent. At this point, I have sold 14. 14. I tell my wife, that means I have 3,986 left to go before I break even on this thing. But it's been interesting to watch the traffic patterns and try to figure out, okay, why did I sell those 14? Where did they come from? Three or four of them, I think, maybe, were from people who had reserved, but the rest were not. They were cold customers that walked onto the site, which is cool. So I actually have made some cold sales. What I'm hoping is those customers will get them and will like them and think they're cool, and they'll say something about it to their friends, and then you start building some momentum. What was interesting, though, was I wasn't prepared for what happened when the first blog post came out from Android guys. There are other blogs and websites out there that just watch sites like Android guys, and as soon as something gets posted there, they just repost it. Da-da. And so you end up with, you get a post there, and then you end up with like 10 or 12 other sites just wham, 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 wham. You know, they're basically just reposting exactly the same thing. But it certainly does lead to an increase in traffic on your website. Because I put up the website, hadn't really told anybody about it. I was bouncing along at 12, 15 visitors a day. And then Tango had talked about me in several blog posts. And so right before Christmas, I had bounced up to about 300 a day, approximate, you know, just bouncing along somewhere in there. When that blog hit Monday, I went from 300 to 800. And then the next day I went to 1,100. And now it's, you know, it's kind of tailed back off and I'm going back down. And so you can really see where the pig went through the python, as the saying goes. I mean, it's this huge bump right there. In addition, because probably the the blog post had my video on there as something that they people could just click on and watch. The views on my little video describing this on YouTube that you can find just by typing in Vaneworks. There's a bunch of videos out there. It's the video that's, it's FaceTime for the rest of us. That video went from, you know, it would just keep incrementing up. So it would go up by 50 or 60 a day, just slowly incrementing up. And I was up to 700 some odd views on the video. And when the blog post hit, I went from 700 or so views to about 4,500 views. Just wham. And the next day, it just, or 3,000 views. And the next day, it just kept up. And so I actually crested 5,000 views on my video on YouTube, the main one. So it's really interesting to watch. Now, those obviously did not translate to sales, per se. But when I saw that they weren't translating to sales, then I started thinking, okay, so are these people that are just snooping? I realized later that a large component of them were from international, and I'm not shipping international at this point. So instead of me getting that big hit there, in fact, there was only about 1,000, I think, out of that 3,000 or 4,000 that were actually USA. So out of those, then, you know, it boiled down to probably 6 or 7 that were actual orders. What is interesting is that my visits dropped off dramatically yesterday because the initial wave had gone through. And so I dropped down to 380 some odd visits, but I sold 4 more, which is a little bit more encouraging because when I actually have to start the advertising phase, which I will, I was looking at a fact where I thought, okay, I had 1,100 visits and I only sold 5. That means it took like 200 visits to sell 1. That's not so great. Because if you're paying 5 cents for a click-through and you have to have 200 visits to get someone to buy, you've just spent $10, right? Yeah, $10. And that pretty much eats up all your profit. But if you only need approximately 80 or 90 to get someone to buy, you know, then you're down into about $4 for an advertising fee, and that's doable. For the way I have the pricing structure set up, that's doable. Because I make roughly about $12 or $13 on a single unit and about $10 on a twin pack. And I built the pricing that way so that I would have the ability to go to Amazon if I wanted to go to Amazon, or, you know, have a little slush in there to get some advertising done, those types of things. So yesterday I wasn't too unhappy with the traffic to the site and the number of units sold. I felt like selling 4 when I only had 380 some odd visitors, not too bad. I can make those numbers work, even if each visitor cost me like 5 cents. So at this point, you just need more traffic to the site. And at this point, I need more people actually getting them, using them, saying, yeah, this is a pretty cool idea, if they think it's a cool idea. So there's some things happening there. And I have more work to do, just sort of guerrilla marketing some things. This is a very interesting game. And I had decided, I had mentioned this several times, I had decided early on that what I was going to do with this, I didn't know where it was going to lead. I knew that the money that I was spending, I could afford to lose. And so I had decided that what I was going to do is just run this according to the principles and just see what happens. And it is first and foremost not essential that I make money on this, because money is not my source. Money is nice to have, but sometimes, most of the time, practically all the time, we allow ourselves to be convinced that money is the only thing, and it's not. It's just not. There's a really cute story that I was reading in the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, where there was supposedly a man somewhere in Italy that maybe had a little hot dog stand that he was running, just a little one-man show, and just, or sausage stand, whatever, and just had the most wonderful sausage, and he had this American business guy come and eat one of his sausages and just thought they were great. And he told the guy, wow, you should really, you know, do something with this. And the guy said, well, I am doing something with this. I get my stand together, and, you know, I'm here by 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I work till about noon and handle the noon, and then I go home and take a little nap, and then I come back and I do a little more, and then I go home and drink coffee and spend time with my children and spend time with my wife, and then in the morning, you know, I go down and I sit and I watch the whatever, and, you know, then I feel like when it's time, I come and I get my stand for lunch. But the guy said, oh, but you could franchise this, and you could expand, and you could just do this and that, and priest, you could be making so much money with this. And the guy kind of looked at him, and he said, well, why would I want to do that? Well, because you could make millions. And then the man said, when, what would I do after I made all those millions? And the entrepreneur said, well, you know, then you could go home in the afternoon and do what you wanted to, and you could spend time with your children, and you could spend time with your wife. And, you know, the little Italian guy was like, right, why am I going to wait all those years? Why not just do that now? And so I have things that I'm trying to accomplish in my life that don't necessarily revolve around just making money. I would like to have the time to enjoy my family and enjoy my wife and enjoy my work, enjoy my writing, all those types of things, without necessarily worrying about the bottom penny. And I wasn't going to do that in this business. So instead of ordering stuff and having it shipped in because I could get it for a dollar cheaper over here or over there, I used local businessmen to produce it all. I was not looking to see, and nor am I continuing to look to see how I can produce the absolute last dollar after, you know, out of every sale. And I mean, that was true this week because I had a setting that wasn't set correctly for one of my customers who ordered from Puerto Rico, which I thought I had it set to where you couldn't order from Puerto Rico. But she managed to order from Puerto Rico, and it didn't charge her shipping at all. So that shipping was like $9.40 or something like that, and I hadn't charged her for shipping, so that pretty much took care of the profit out of that one. But that's fine. That's fine. Well, in the midst of all this, I'm getting my mail. I had, admittedly, lost a little track. Lost a little track on where I was at in terms of working with the principals. There's one piece of mail I'm going to check real quick because I'm really curious. Lost track a little bit of the principals over that Monday when, you know, there weren't many orders coming in and didn't look like anything was happening on the website and yada, yada, yada. And so I was, you know, getting a little concerned and all that kind of stuff. And then I got a chance to go out with my buddy Tuesday morning, and we were sitting and talking about this, that, and the other. And suddenly, as I was talking about the customers and that kind of thing, the spirit just hit me again with this, you're doing this business by the principles. And instead of them treating like customers, I've learned that I need to speak up a little bit when I'm backing into my garage. And so I thought, you know, instead of treating them like customers, you need to treat them like friends. You need to treat them as you wish to be treated. And that really kind of changed my perspective just instantly. I was like, well, yeah. You know, instead of getting all worried about this and haranguing about it, you know what? If I sell two today, I'm going to fulfill those orders as quickly as I can, get them in the mail. And if people have questions, I'm going to answer them as best as I can and treat them with kindness. You know, it's going to be a process of being diligent to treat others as I wish to be treated. And as part of that, you know, I went out to the website. I had originally set it up and I was saying, okay, well, I'm not going to reimburse you shipping if you send it back. And there may be a 20% restocking fee. I just took all that junk out. I said, look, money back guarantee. Okay, if you don't like the stand, you send it back. I will give you a full refund. Done. That's it. Done. Because that's how I'd like to be treated. And in my Zarks business, my little internet service provider business, I've done my best to treat people with honor and integrity and grace. I've got one couple that are waiting for some payments and things, and they're actually like 7 months behind on their payments. But you know what? It's okay. I mean, they wrote me the other day and said, you know, sorry, we're so far behind. We're expecting a check to come in and we should be able to get caught up. And I just say, you know, hey, it's no problem. We'll be okay. You know, am I going to become a millionaire that way? No, probably not. Would I want all the money that I could gain by treating people as chattel or treating people like objects that I'm just trying to extract as much money as I could from them? I don't think I want that money, because I prefer instead to have the relationship. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.